hopefully they continue to encourage, watch the statistics very closely, and when you see a problem, face it immediately, solve the problem, and move on to the next one.
Thank you. Public safety is a major issue for us, obviously. The number of police, I look at running for office and coming into a city where the amount of sworn officers has gone below 2 sworn officers per 1,000 for a ratio. How did that happen? That happened because the present city council let that happen. We need to beef that back up to at least 2 sworn officers per 1,000. I think that's a reasonable benchmark. I think it's something we should shoot for. Also, when I look at budget, we have to do this without any increase in the general fund. Crime actually is up in our city. There's a spin put on crime numbers, and I wanted to make sure I have these numbers with me today because I thought this question would probably come up as far as how important public safety is. We have forcible rapes from 120 up to 125 from 2008 to 2009, and we have aggravated assaults from 1,507 to 1,515. That's a rise.
Well, in my opening remarks, you heard me state that we needed to immediately take a look, and that was take a look at the process it takes to start an academy. We can no longer wait for that. Fire is in danger. Police is in danger. And considering the first homicide of the year was less than 35 yards away from my front doorstep, I don't care what anybody is saying, that affects you. And it affects the community. So when you're looking at this, you have to take another look at what will generate revenues. More academies, we have a post-certified police academy. That is a marketing tool that we could use to raise funds to actually bring in more police. And the other thing that I find interesting is we've lost 22 officers, or they're on the way out, but we also cut 39. So that makes it very, very difficult to bring the levels back up than beyond where Ernie Kell was.
Improving safety is a definite must for the city, but again, everything that we're faced with ultimately comes back to the budget deficit. So until we can tackle the challenge of the budget, even the benchmark of 2 officers per car, that's very reasonable, but in light of where the city stands financially, is it really something that we can do at this current time? I think one of the things we also have to encourage is personal responsibility. With the getting out, talking to the individual constituents, we have to have a relationship between the community and also the police. The police force does a wonderful job as it is right now. Our fire force is one of the best in the state, but the residents have to feel or have some level of safety or confidence in the services that are provided. Community policing would help, but also making them feel safe enough where they can call when crimes are in process.
This is a good question. I just got this from the audience. What do you consider your top 3 contributions to North Long Beach and to the city?
Well, my top 3 contributions to North Long Beach. I am a person who has been providing social services to the city, not only North Long Beach, but all of Los Angeles County. I run a nonprofit today which assists constituents or members in the community with helping them pay their utility bills, their partial rent assistance, and things of that nature. And the majority of the clients that I see from Long Beach come from North Long Beach. The level that I've been participating at a citywide level is I sit on the board of the Fairfield YMCA in North Long Beach. I sit on the board of the Freedom School in North Long Beach. I'm working with a group of educators coming from Claremont College and Harvey Mudd to assist youth in getting into college and coalitions throughout the city for improving jobs and workforce development.
Well, on the neighborhood preservation level, I would think that helping to come up with the first community garden with a prior council member over by the Hamilton School was a great deal. And as a matter of fact, we have another member over here that helped with that. Also, the Pocket Park right next to my home. Those are immediate hands-on things. As far as citywide, I would think helping to bring a cruise line in here, which is continuously bringing in revenues, is another one. The Day San Juan Festival brought over 40,000 people when we had it at the events park, as well as BBLB being one of the first grand prize winners for NUSA and the history project for this group, for CAG being the grand champion. I would think those are all different things. That's all the way across the city, and specifically several things that happened here, including the pocket parks.
Thank you, Lori, for that question. Well, first of all, I've been on the board of directors for several nonprofits here in the city and contributed at that level. I've also been a community activist in many ways. I'm most proud of the fact that in 2001, I started a social networking group called the Sunday Brunch Bunch. And it's an idea where brunches are held at private residences. But my main goal for doing this was to raise money for nonprofits. And over the years, I've raised over $20,000 for nonprofits with what I call a gold vase at these brunches, and or I did raffles there as well. And through that, I started the Loop e-magazine. Some of you may have heard of that. That is just purely a way to spread information in our city about local happenings, what's going on, and usually I put nonprofit information in there as well. In addition to that, I'm proud of the fact that I'm on the board of directors of the North Long Beach Community Action Group and have been enjoying working with Lori and others in CAG. Thank you very much.
Before the time starts, how much are these each? So I get 90 seconds plus one to talk about all the contributions I've worked on in North Long Beach. Top three. First, foremost, probably is the fact that we saved 450 homes in the Coolidge Triangle 6 months after I came on council, and we directed the direction of the 710 freeway so no homes throughout the entire city would be taken or businesses. That's my first. Second would be Andy Street, how we changed Andy Street around, a neighborhood that the post office wouldn't even deliver to, and many more. But also proud of the fact that I helped organize and start the North Long Beach Community Action Group in 1993 with my good friend Christopher Hicks, which helped in this entire community with policing and working with the police department and the community. So I thank you very much.
I've had a couple of questions on this, and I think they're pretty good. They're asking about how would you engage the other cultures in the area? A lot of times we have, as we know, we have a lot of white voters, and, you know, we're the minority actually now. And so how do you engage other constituencies within the district?
Boy, we certainly need that question asked here in Long Beach. We're in the most diverse city in the entire United States, I believe. Most of it has to be done through groups and organizations, bringing them together and just simply talking. We need much more of that. We need strong neighborhood groups, strong neighborhood associations. We have to make sure we hear from everybody. And that takes effort, that takes work, that takes bringing people together to do that, but it is something, in fact, we have to do, especially in a city like this. Also, we have to be aware of minorities in terms of the gas outage we just had up here in North Long Beach, which has been in the news. Some of you may have seen Belle on TV doing an interview, and it was a Latin woman with six children who really felt put out by the fact that she felt her rights were being overlooked by not being pushed in the right direction as far as city needs, how she could be helped. She felt very bad about that. As a Latino woman, we have to look at these things and realize people's reactions to them.
30 seconds.
Thank you. I got 30 seconds to tell you that we as a city, me as a councilman, we worked very hard to get 222 homes back on line with their gas. That young lady had a legitimate concern. We found a way to reimburse every one of those people immediately. And that night, after that lady said she worked from payday to payday, I personally walked to her house and gave her a voucher so she didn't have to pay for a hotel room out of her own pocket.
Well, I think breaking it down by cultures is probably one of the best ways to do this. We all have heard us say that we are the most diverse city in the state and probably the United States, but being able to meet with the chieftains, with the Samoan community, being able to meet with the Filipinos, being able to meet with everybody and bridging the gaps, and that's what it takes. Not only being able to bridge the gaps on the personal level, but even on the political level, such as having candidates' brunches and allowing the public to walk in through the door of your home and opening it up to everyone. So those types of things are direct contact with the public.
I think this is an excellent question, particularly for this area. And everyone has answered, in my estimation, very well. But I think the key thing that we have to do is have open dialogue. You have to have open dialogue, and you also have to engage the different cultures. 4 years ago, I ran against Val, and by statistics, we improved voter participation. And one of the reasons that we did that is we reached out to every group within the city. I've continued to do that. I have a history of doing that. But I think that's the key in opening up any kind of engagement with other cultures is people just don't feel like they're part of the process. And we have to reach out to them and make them feel welcomed and let them know that their voice does count and their voice does matter.
I look out in this room and see that for the most part, most every face in this room are the people that I've been working with for the last 13 years. I will tell you that we live in a community where the median income is $37,000 to $42,000. For the most part, our working class community is more concerned with putting food on their table, trying to get their shoes on their feet, and they will not come out with things like this because they have more priorities. But I will tell you, when you have a junkyard going to expand themselves three times, you'll have 400 people of color come out to protect their homes when they need to. When they're told that the 710 freeway is going to take away their homes, those people come out of color. 1,000 came out that night to protect their homes. They're more concerned about putting food on the table than coming to a meeting on a Sunday afternoon when they've worked all week long. You engage them, but they will do when they need to.
I think the councilman brings up a good point, but maybe not necessarily that folks have, they don't have a desire to be here. It's many of the people in the community can't be here because they're working two and three jobs, which goes back to the point of why we need good quality jobs here in the city of Long Beach. We need jobs that people can maintain a living on where they only have to go to one job and not have to work three and four jobs to keep a roof over their head.
Okay, I've had a couple of comments on Fire Station 12. There was a groundbreaking yesterday. If anybody, we had quite a few people there, I think 70 or 80 people at least. It was a good deal. Now, what people may not understand is that this wasn't funded through the revitalization funds from the government. They're financing it, which is giving us a 1% reduction in the financing costs. So it isn't like we got free money for that. This is redevelopment. So I'm going to tie in redevelopment with that particular project. What, gentlemen, do you feel that redevelopment should be doing, and how do we fight for those resources to remain in North Long Beach, or do we fight for them? Let's start with you.
Well, number one, yes, we should be fighting for those dollars. Those dollars should be remaining in the largest project area in the city. They should be remaining up here, doing what I call a bait and switch, where the dollars would go into the port, even though the port is in our project area, and allowing budgetary financing to go over and take care of the aquarium is not my idea of preserving our dollars. We need to engage those dollars in projects, in groundbreaking projects that are up here in the North Long Beach area. If we do not do that, I can guarantee you they will be going after dollars again. Secondarily, they will also be going after dollars from the state, and they're looking probably to wipe out redevelopment. So we need to start breaking ground quickly. That means the Atlantic Village, that means Virginia Village over on Long Beach Boulevard. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I do believe we need to fight for all our funds and really make sure we keep it here in the ninth. Now that the fire station is clear that it's going to be funded by the federal economic stimulus money, that's $14 million that I ask, where's that going to go? Right off the top of my head, I think we could put it at Paramount Boulevard for one thing. It's a mess over there with potholes. There's a variety of needs we can do with that $14 million. I wonder if that's been thought through or not. Also, in terms of thinking about what to do with our money, fighting for the ninth, yes, we are all North Long Beach. We hear this time and time again, anything from Del Amo up, let's say. But we need to fight for the ninth. I know about a year ago, our present city councilman gave away $440,000, roughly, of RDA money to another district. And I know there's give and take. I know we do that from time to time as a city. But I'm telling you, when we're suffering like this in our district, we need to keep it here and fight to keep every penny right here in the 9th district.
You know, we... It's $19 million that's coming from the America money, which frees up the $12 million we thought was going, we were going to need to use for the fire station. Out of that money, it's only going to be about $7 million for the fire station, which frees up the money for shovel-ready projects. That money is only for shovel-ready projects. Yes, it has been thought through. Yes, the medians and a bunch of other projects are ready to go in North Long Beach are going to benefit from that money. Paramount Boulevard is not shovel-ready. We couldn't use a penny of that for Paramount Boulevard. I have fought constantly for the money in North Long Beach, fire stations, police stations, public Restaurant Row, North Village, and I will continue to fight for that money. But also, we have to be fair. So one question was equitable. Equitable means that when North of South Street gets $500,000 more, $500,000 more, and the south of South Street gets no road money. Equitable is to take care of my entire community, my entire neighborhood, my entire city. That's what we do as a council. That's what we should do constantly. We have put millions and millions of dollars in north of South Street, and I moved $492,000 down the south of South Street so that people in the rest of my community could also benefit from road work. Thank you.
When we live in a district that has many vacant storefronts, lots of blight, one of the highest foreclosure rates in the city, gang problems, graffiti problems, neighborhoods falling apart, you don't give away one penny of your money. You keep it for the ninth, and you need somebody in office who's going to do that. Yes, occasionally we can help other districts. We can blend it a little bit, but the ninth has enormous need, and we have to keep it here.
I think in regards to redevelopment, particularly here in the ninth, we have to look at the economic interests of the new developments. For example, giving tax breaks to companies that hire ex-offenders. We have to find ways to attract, again, businesses that want to come into the ninth so that we can use these redevelopment monies in beautifying and building the city up. The developments that do come to the ninth, how are they, what benefits come to the community? Are benefits just going to the developers? We have to think about community benefits. Are they located next to transit? Is it something that really enhances the lives of our residents? We have to include community benefits in every decision that we make, because we've already attested to the fact that the people in the north, this is a very working class income, so we have to attract and do things with policy that enhance the lives of the residents here.
Okay, I think this fits nicely with that. What are the three most important issues facing North Long Beach, and if elected, how would you address those issues?
Well, first I'll start with the neighborhoods. Boy, we need to really improve our neighborhoods. We need some kids playing in the street. We need some more mom-and-pop businesses. We need more neighborhood associations, neighborhood groups, and so on. I think right now, currently, that we have three active neighborhood associations in a district out of 60,000 people to have three that are actively meeting. Boy, that needs to really come up. Also, when I look around, as I mentioned just a minute ago, a lot of foreclosed homes, a lot of blight, a lot of problems with deterioration in streets and graffiti and so on and so forth. So we have enormous need out here. I would work on improving all of that. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, fighting for every penny that we can keep here in the ninth, and also public safety. I know when I bought my home up in 2004, I was afraid to walk my dogs near my house. I still am afraid, and that's because just recently there was a murder over at Atlantic at 68th, and I live at California at 68th. So public safety is a top priority. Guess I'm out of time. Here you go, Lauren.
Well, I hate to echo someone, but actually Brad is absolutely correct. Public safety is number one. The process for the academies have to start immediately, and that doesn't just mean for police, it also means for fire. That process needs to be in place. We've got to replace the officers, and I know all of us are going to say something about that. The next thing is providing green space and doing things along the lines like that. I've been involved with community gardens, the NLP program, etc., all across the city. We've done Kaboom projects, although I haven't been involved with one up here yet. 14th Street Park, providing a Christmas program for people in the need that are in the need when they don't have it, and even being able, with the cooperation of the council office, to be able to provide presents for people up here. Those types of things are hands-on community things.
I mentioned to you folks that I run a social service program, and the majority of people that I see from Long Beach come out of 90805 area code. And the problem, in my estimation, is people need good quality jobs. People need jobs, people need health care, and we need strong business development here in the north. We need to be able to attract good businesses to North Long Beach. Again, local business, small business, represents the employment of 50% of workers in the country. So we have to find ways to attract businesses here to the north that will locally hire. There's recovery money, there's stimulus money that is available that can help businesses offset 80% of their costs. The government is providing funding for 80% of a worker's salaries, benefits, and all the employers have to do is come up with 20%. This information has to be shared with local businesses so that people have the information so that they can enhance the lives of the citizens here.
Public safety. We need to continue the trend that we've started over the last 20 years in this community, working with the community organizations, the strong community organizations. I live in a neighborhood and live in a community that there's kids playing in the streets. There's people walking their dogs, going down to the park to play basketball. As I came in today over here on the other street on 64th, with four kids playing with their skateboards in the park in the middle of the street, had to get out of my way. That's the neighborhood I live in. Where we've neglected is the commercial corridors. We've neglected the commercial corridors, but our neighborhoods are well intact, family-oriented neighborhoods, and we are working on changing the commercial corridors up and down the area. But we need to make sure that we do that. That will revitalize this neighborhood. The kids out playing on the street are there. They're in my neighborhood. They're playing ballpark. We're creating soccer fields in the parks and everything for the kids in the community.
I'm going to morph about three questions I have here. And they're asking, what have you done for the 9th District that contributed to the improvement of the area? And I'm going to morph into that, what qualifies you to represent the folks in the 9th District? Let's start with Stephen.
I mentioned earlier, specifically for the 9th District, my interest has always been for workforce development and education. I sit as a commissioner for the city on the Workforce Development Agency here in Long Beach. I also sit as an alternate for the Los Angeles City Board and the Los Angeles County Board. So I've been working for the last few years in the development of good jobs, green jobs, and industries where there's projected growth, and helping retrain workers that have been displaced into industries where they can make a living. I also serve as a board member, again, on the YMCA and the Freedom School, working with education, making sure that educational opportunities are available for youth, making sure that access and equality across the school district, working with coalition, making there was a challenge that we had with the amount of college prep classes provided at Jordan and Cabrillo that we have been addressing, making sure that everyone has access to those classes.
The question was, what have you done in this area, and what are we doing, what have we done in the 9th District? Well, there's plenty of things that we've done. As part of the RDA Project Area Committee since 1996, parks, pocket parks, all kinds of things along there, just with that vote and being involved with the Project Area Committee. Being involved with CAC since 1994, I'm a year behind the council member. Being involved with that group from putting up fences, painting houses, emergency numbers, all those things. I don't know if that necessarily qualifies you, but it sure gives you insight on what's needed in the neighborhood. The idea of for 15 years of battling with city councils over public safety and trying to get it 2 per 1,000, that's been a huge issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue because of the dollars that are involved. The last thing is I would think that pension reform. You know what? I'll take 30 seconds. Finish. Pension reform is a big issue. The people need to be involved with it. We need to be able to review some of these contracts. We need to have direct contact with that. If we do not and we continue the way it's going, we're looking at bankruptcy. And I hate to put it that way, but that's the direction we are headed in.
Well, thank you. Off the top of my head, I've done some park cleanups. I organized the Ramona Park cleanup. I'm on the board of directors for North Long Beach Community Action Group. In addition to that, I'm really hoping that people realize that just running for office, I think, shows how much you care for our community. You know, currently I'm working two jobs, and I'm busy in some other ways, and to just dive in and on a very grassroots level, just simply want to help the community, which is why I'm doing it. I'm hoping that just shows how much I care about the 9th and how much I care about our neighborhoods. And also I want to say what I bring is I think with my work experience and my education, with my master's in psychology, I think I'm fairly good at bringing people together and finding ways to get various factions communicating, working together, setting goals. And I think I'm going to be excellent at that. And presently at St. Mary's, working with the senior geriatric population also is a great work skill in helping me understand what's going on with our seniors.
Thank you. I'll start with what qualifies you. I believe that each and every one of us sitting here at this table are qualified. I believe each and every one of us have a passion to do representation for this 9th district. It's just a question of how they're going to go about representing this. And also the question is what special interest groups they come with. For me, I guess I have to say right now, because I'm still smiling from yesterday, building Station 12 in the 9th district, having that when I was told that it would never happen 8 years ago, that we knew we needed a new fire station for the protection and the safety of our community, but it wasn't going to happen. The fact that we put a shovel in the ground and it will be completed by January of this year, to me, that's the main thing right now in my mind, what I've done to improve the quality of life in the city of North Long Beach in particular. I've already done my resume on the other things I've done, North Long Beach Community Action Group, painting numbers
All right. Consider important city appointments to the Planning and Harbor Commission, for example, only represent a small area of the city, mostly and usually the 3rd District or downtown. What will you do to ensure that appointments are more representative of the population in the various areas of the city?
Okay. Well, thank you. I think it's trying to get somebody from the 9th on every possible commission and every possible public policy setting group there is, and just in every way across the board. We need the ninth represented much more so than we currently are. The ninth, what I hear going door to door is how disconnected a lot of you feel from the rest of the city, and how we feel a little overlooked out here in the ninth. And I've been hearing that since I've been walking since last July. Part of what I'll do as city councilman is make sure that we are not overlooked anymore, and that includes not only fighting down at City Hall for us, myself, but making sure we have people in the ninth on every possible committee there is, getting input from the diverse population we have out here in the ninth, including working class, blue collar, which is primarily what we're made up of, and making sure that their input is heard at every level across the city. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I look out in this audience and I see six commissioners in this audience, all from the 9th District. I see people from redevelopment who are fighting and appointed by the city and organizations. When I came on council, there was only two positions in any committees. And since that time, we've had the first ever president, chair of the Planning Commission. Phil, raise your hand. 30 years we didn't have somebody on that commission, and now we do. Mr. Baker, the first chair from North Long Beach Redevelopment, may I raise your hand, please. Mr. Hicks, Public Safety Committee, raise your hand, please. Public Safety Committee, our little MR with the Civil Service branch, and one other one too, right? Yeah. Human Relations, that's what it is. So I have appointed, I've been very meticulous in fighting that we get representation up here.
One of the commissioners he failed to recognize was me also on the workforce development. Another thing that we have to do, and it goes back to engaging diverse communities, we have to get more people involved in civics. We have to get more people involved. Unfortunately, sometimes when doing that, and I hope you guys hear my heart as I'm saying this, it's almost the position that I think Brad and I find ourselves in as seeking public office. Sometimes you run into a brick wall in trying to do something for the community by folks that aren't that acceptive of you wanting to serve. So I think we have to look at, I think we all have to look internally at, are we really opening up the process to everyone that wants to be engaged?
The interesting thing about this question is that if you looked back 8 years and you only saw two commissioners, and that was the standard, then you would actually be asking that question about. But the mayor and the council at this point has really gone out of their way to bring diversity on all the commissions. Sitting in this room and seeing seven or eight, and I'm a former commissioner on a couple of commissions, and I was one of the two for a long time. That says a lot on what's being done. And I happen to agree with Brad. I think we need more. I don't think we need less. And being diverse, a diverse population, a blue-collar population, is not an exception to the commission. It is an actual benefit because it tells you where we really are and where we live.
Okay, I have some similar questions here relative to affordable housing, programs for seniors, veterans, and those on fixed incomes, and I guess supporting those communities. The one on housing, just to be a little bit more specific, there's concern we're supposed to build 4,000 low-income housing units by the year 2014, according to SCAG, the Southern California Association of Governments. There doesn't seem to be enough money. Do you support the adoption of fees or residential and commercial developers to support the creation of low-income housing? So it's basically how do we serve the underserved? But if you could also take special consideration for that housing question as well.
I also see Barbara Bolin, another commissioner out in the audience there. Barbara, how are you? Well, considering that I've pushed all the way along, my record is well known, that but I believe in affordable, moderate income, low income housing, but create ownership, not rental, ownership, with the exception of seniors and the handicapped. And we are in the process of creating a 61-unit senior affordable housing up on Artesia Boulevard, where the bank, Farmers Merchant Bank, was at. They're closing down. Whether or not we build housing there at that site, they're closing down their bank, and we are now looking for them to have a smaller. The model of the Farmers Merchant Bank is not what we have. It is not what they do today. So that will go to another spot in the 9th District. However, we do have a bank. It's one block out of the 9th District, it's in the 8th. But again, this is all our neighborhood. All right? And just because it's one block south of South Street doesn't mean it's not in our community. It's our bank. It's our community.
Well, I'm really pleased that we have our City Department of Community Development in place, and that's number one, and we can work well with that department and pay attention to it. Also, we have our Long Beach Housing Development Company, a nonprofit since 1989, who I think are very good about bringing various factions together and looking at our housing issues. I think we have a law that requires that we set aside a certain amount of our redevelopment money for housing, 20% maybe. I think we need to make sure that that's happening. If it is, great. Can we get more? If not, then why is it not happening? Also, we need a housing trust fund that actually has money in it. We have a housing trust fund that went through council. It needs to be funded. It would help us a lot with affordable housing. Also, we need to look at taking foreclosures that are out there in the 9th, and there's many, buying those properties, fixing them up, and reselling them as affordable housing. And I'd like to use a chip to follow up on what Val said. This is a quote about our bank, F&M. And this is, are you going to allow this attitude or not? From the Long Beach Business Journal, Val says regarding the F&M Bank, it won't hurt the community too hard because the Bank of America is just three blocks outside of the district on Long Beach Boulevard. I find that unacceptable. I think in a district of 60,000 people almost, that we should have a bank. And you need somebody in there fighting for this, bringing it to the forefront, drawing incentives, working with the banks to get them to set up shop in the 9th.
Well, having been a member of the PAC since its inception, I'm very familiar with low-income housing. Some of the things that we do need to do in the city, instead of turning over land to developers, we need to consider leasebacks. We also need to consider the fact that our housing set aside gets moved around. It does get moved across the city for different reasons to help out other areas. And that housing set aside is 20%. Dealing with the idea that we're going to be losing a major bank, just to let you know, Farmers and Merchants is the most independent bank in the country. They will not move anywhere that they cannot own the land, period. So I don't know where they're going to buy in the 9th District, but everybody on their board that I have spoken to, it says it doesn't look very possible. The idea of coming up with a community credit union where we can all take a part would be the best efforts put forward. I'll spend 30 seconds. The idea of a 90805 credit union would also help with purchase of foreclosure properties. It would help with lending. It would help build the community. It can be placed in a small area, no bigger than this building right here that we're sitting in. So that is something that's being looked at and worked at quietly with someone that does have a background in doing that. There was a community credit union. It is no longer in existence, and I was called in to help with the Naval Shipyard Credit Union, which was in LaSalle.
I think this is an excellent question. And I think this is an area where the city, and particularly in the north, we can utilize a public and private partnerships. There are models throughout the state, Los Angeles, Oakland, where collaborations are being formed. The EDGE partnership is one, which has members of the chamber, members of labor, developers, and community groups, businesses working together to address problems like this. That goes back to my point about development that benefits the community, community benefit agreements. We have to have model. We have to work together and do things outside of what we've done traditionally in lieu of the budget deficit that we're facing. One of the things, again, there are practices and models that are happening successfully, and I think what we have to do is examine those models and wherever possible take the best practices there and try to invest them here. But it comes with engaging other partners, collaboratives together to make it happen.
Okay, I've been asking this question. In fact, several people have been asking this question for years, and we might be surprised at the answers. Why is the 9th District so underserved, i.e. libraries, potholes, abandoned buildings, graffiti, no quality stores? Why are we underserved? It fits in with the banks, but it's broader than that. And so we don't have the market on bad infrastructure, I believe. How about you, Dan?
Well, some of the things that we could do that would be a little more creative as far as being the fact that we're underserved is we could do distance learning classes right on the boulevards. That's an excellent way to do something along those lines. It's a positive move. It would fill the vacancies that we have. But being underserved is a perceptional thing. And just the idea of talking about in the newspapers that this is where the homicide capital of Long Beach might be, or there's something going on up here as far as public safety, that is a battle that has been fought and fought and fought, and there's people sitting on this panel that's going to continue to fight. And it's going to be a continuous battle at the mic over those things. The other thing is you know, we've all heard about workforce development. The thing is when you start something up here, we cannot allow the dollars to slide somewhere else.
Well, remember a few minutes ago when I brought up how over $440,000 was given away to another district? Well, there's your answer. We need somebody in City Hall who's going to fight for us, who's going to point out all the needs of the 9th, make us be number one, draw major attention to the 9th, and not be giving away our money, number one. That's why I brought that up earlier. That's how that happens, and that's how the perception starts to grow, that we're disconnected and we're a little bit less than the rest of the city. We need to work on that, but it starts at City Hall. It starts with a strong leader fighting for us every step of the way. In addition to that, what I hear going door to door is just how disconnected people do feel. So it is more than just a perception. Yes, it is a perception, but in reality, people have to leave here to do so many things. Those things I mentioned earlier, you leave it. Soon we're going to be leaving for a bank on top of a major chain grocery store. Thank you.
Well, we don't get to the 9th district without going through one-third of the 8th district. And if we don't correct everything from the Lommel to the city border, we will never get rid of that perception. If they have to go through the other side of the North Long Beach area to get to the good part, what do you think the perception is going to be by the time they get to the good part? We are all one neighborhood. From the Lommel to the city border, we are all one neighborhood. And we have to improve it all. Improve it all. And that's my responsibility, to improve your neighborhood. Let me ask you, how many people live in the 9th district are out there right now? Please raise your hands. How many don't live in the 9th district? The majority of the people here don't live in the 9th district. And they don't understand that. We are one entire neighborhood from the Lommel to the city limits, and we must fight for that entire neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, we have a purchase here.
That's exactly the kind of attitude that has gotten us to where we are right now and why that question was asked. If we look at why was that question asked at a forum, why is there a perception that 9th is left behind? Why would anybody ask that? It's because it's a reality. And we just heard part of the reason that it's a reality. It's because there's nobody fighting for us at City Hall at the top level, making sure our needs are met. Yes, we are all one city. Yes, we love the 8th. But still, we are the 9th district, and we have to fight for that.
Yeah, it's definitely more than a perception. that's the general consensus of most of the people that you talk to door to door. And I think you get to that point because local decision makers often approve projects without assessing the cost or the benefit to the community. And when that happens, when you have large public subsidies going to developers with no return to the community, it creates sprawl. That's a fact. So that's the position that we find ourselves in today. The question, the real question for us is, how do we alleviate it? How do we get from where we are now to where we need to be? And that's why our development going forward has to include the benefits to the residents of the community. That's the only way you change the perception, because perception is reality.
Okay, just to shift gears here a little bit, what is your position on the proposed I-710 expansion, and what are the concerns, and how do you address them?
I'm gonna buy a rebuttal here just because I want to. For people who have lived in North Long Beach for more than just a few years, we are all, it's North Long Beach. It is not the 9th or the 8th district. It is North Long Beach. They have moved that line from the 8th district so many times for us people who have been here for in a few years. Linda Ivers didn't get to vote two elections because they moved the line on her two different times, right? You know, what you're hearing, Mr. Shore, when you walk the neighborhood is North Long Beach is underserved, not the 9th district. If people have been here for more than just a few years, no, but from Delamo to the city limit, it's North Long Beach.
Okay, so how about the port?
The freeway. Well, I can't do this in 1 minute. It's virtually impossible to talk about the 710 freeway and the expansion of the 710 freeway. And so I'm going to say it as fast as I can. When I came on the council 6 months after I was on council, they told me they were going to take Dave San Jose's home. Then they told me they were going to stack the 710 freeway. And I fought. We got a preferred Long Beach model that creates a very acceptable for the community with little to no impact on our community. We have a problem with goods movement for this nation, for this region, and we need to look at it. Here's what I know. Pollution is going to be regulated and technology out of existence, and what we have to do is look at the volume. And the only way you get that volume out of that port is simply by making sure the 710 infrastructure is correct and can adequately handle that volume out of the Port of Long Beach. That's our problem. Pollution is going to be gone by technology and regulations. It's volume that we have to deal with.
Well, I am definitely not for any double-decking of the 710 freeway or expanding it in that way. That's just taking something, the same problems we have, and just adding to it. You know, what good does that do? I think we have to look at it from different ways. Think outside the box a little bit on this. First of all, modernizing it is fine, but not expanding it. We need to modernize it in various ways. Also, we need to look at more on-dock rail. The more that that takes place, the more that that grows, the less trucks that are going to be having to go down to the port and to deliver goods. Now, yes, we always have some trucks to some degree, yes, but we can minimize it greatly with more on-dock rail. Also, the Alameda corridor is very underutilized, very overlooked. I think we need to really study that. A truck expressway perhaps on that. There's things we can do with the corridor that's already sitting there that's underutilized. So I'd rather go in that direction instead of just, for example, double-decking the 710, which is just simply adding more lanes, more problems. If you build it, they will come.
Double decking, definitely out. Expansion of the 710 freeway, that is probably inevitable in one form or another. You've got a bridge that you're going to expand over in the port. You're dredging out the Middle Harbor project right now. Those types of things are going to increase truck traffic, and therefore we're looking, that's why we're asking this question. The idea of technology completely wiping out particulate matter, etc., we just declared an emergency 2 years ago because we couldn't do it. Hopefully the technology in the next few years will be able to eliminate it, and that includes booting. The other thing is, you know, you talk about bunker fuel and the large ships, the container ships. We're discounting that at the moment. Every time they come in, we're discounting that so they will, we won't get as much pollution. The last thing that I'd like to say about it is, and I'm going to buy 30 seconds more, is you're going to have an issue very similar to the airport over in the 7th District. And that issue is going to overlay into our area. And it's going to affect our housing. And it's going to affect everything up here. And we need to dig in right now and start battling, because that's where we are headed. And it's an unfortunate thing. And the two ports, north and south, are going to be taking business. But we're going to expand at such a rapid rate that it's not going to make a difference.
I think Dan brings up an excellent point that the expansion, the modernization, whatever you want to call it, is inevitable. It has to happen in order to maintain the port with the amount of goods and services or goods that are transported through this region. So it's something that's going to have to be addressed. I personally favor the double decking, although I know there's not a lot of support for that. But what we have to do is examine what's best for the residents of this community and what is the less intrusive on the homeowners and the residents there. We have to find a way to make this a money-making proposition for the city without displacing residents. Brad brings up excellent points in regard to the corridor. It is definitely underused, and the Ondock Rail is going to be more utilized, and I think those two things within themselves would alleviate a lot of the traffic.
This is related, and I'm hoping there's not too much overlap here, but I've had a couple of questions about this, and anybody that lives in North Long Beach or the 9th District recognizes the adverse impacts of the port in the neighborhood, including the issues with air quality, asthma for our children, and other health-related issues. So my question to you is, what will you do to address those problems?
Well, in my family, we were a part of the asthma study just before the NAITS 2 study came out, talking about the diesel death zone over here. So as far as doing that and the regulation, we are going to continue to be regulated. Once I just previously said that we did have an emergency declared a couple of years ago in order to make us safer and the air better. Booting the ships as well as cold ironing are some of the answers that are going to be needed on dock rail. Not near dock rail, which affects the neighborhoods, is something that we need to have. Transfer stations outside of the city of Long Beach will also limit pollution, etc. And those are the types of things that need to be looked at through SCAG in order to protect the region.
Yeah, that's a great question, because there's varieties of ways we're going to have to approach this. Number one, thank God we have the clean truck program in place, and there seems to be good success happening with that, and 80% reduction, which I hope will get even more so. Also, on dock rail, as I mentioned earlier, that needs to happen more, and the more that happens, the less pollution we're going to see. In addition, we have to look at, I would say, rideshare programs. You know, as Southern Californians, it's hard for us to jump in another car with folks and ride to work or go on errands and so on. We're going to have to be encouraged to do that, but I think certainly rideshare programs is another avenue to go as far as reducing pollution and so on. And once again, the Alameda Corridor sitting right there, truck expressway on it of some sort. Also, I've had the idea of having a Green Day Pass, which is basically a pass partnering with Long Beach Transit and MTA as a way to offer free or discounted passes to encourage people to use our mass transit. Therefore, they get used to it and possibly would keep riding it.
Thank you. All you need to do is go to our schools. We have 7 schools in the 9th District, and 5 of them are within a block of a freeway. Grant is 2 blocks away from the freeway, and the 6th one, the other one, is far out. Go to there and see on any given day the kids who are sitting in the nurse's station trying to get oxygen because of the pollution. We need to continue to regulate with Green Truck and other ways of regulation to eliminate and clean up the air. We've been doing that successfully. When I first came on council 8 years ago, I asked, why does the port need to be the largest? Why can't it be the cleanest, safest port and be the third largest in the world? And I think we've come a long way to that point of making sure that we've got clean trucks coming out of the port. I don't want to put a moratorium to stop any dirty trucks from North Long Beach and the rest of the city from being here. That's what we'll continue to do.
I think from all the things aside that have already been said, the port has been doing a good job in trying to go green. I think the other thing that we can do that would have a huge impact is to move away from the use of fossil fuels and start looking at alternative energy. That would go a long ways into helping to eliminate the pollution and the problems that we're having.
Okay, this can be related to port or not. How would you improve land use, zoning, code enforcement decisions, and in North Long Beach, better use of our industrial properties?
Well, we've created neighborhood code enforcement teams in North Long Beach, and we've been successful with those. I would continue to make sure that the third stool, the third leg on the stool in public safety is code enforcement. I would continue to fund code enforcement, continue redevelopment to fund code enforcement, and make sure that as we look at every house, Janet Server out there who works in my office drives the district every single month and looks for code enforcement violations and sends a nice letter to the people, and we need to continue doing that. Mr. Caligeri, who's out there, he also does the commercial corridors, and we see code violations, we let them know and correct it before it ever becomes a code enforcement case. And those are things you continue to do. You work on code enforcement on a regular basis.
Okay, there again, it starts from the top. As long as it's being watched by the city councilman, as long as things are being monitored, as long as code enforcement is being enforced, then that's number one, how you get it going. Code enforcement, I would agree, is the number one way to go with that. But also just looking at space in general, I think the open space and recreation element of the general plan is something to take note of, and that's planned all the way up through the year 2030. And so having a plan in addition to the code enforcement, I think, is a way to work with this. Pocket parks, I think, are important, as well as more green space in general. But it's having somebody up at the top monitoring this, fighting to make sure that code enforcement is, in fact, being upheld.
Well, once again, this is a policy issue, and that's what the council is all about. Focus needs to be on North Long Beach, the idea of doing pocket parks. Some of us have had our hands in it, some of us haven't. Recreation is an excellent idea. The 2030 plan is pretty much in place, and it's a matter of enacting that and sticking to it. You do have to have somebody at the top monitoring, but the eyes and ears that are on the street and in the neighborhoods is where this should start. The idea of having community code enforcement was one of those things to save dollars and make sense in the community, and that's why we did that. It started out with Project NICE with Councilman Schultz, and it's expanded into the business areas. It was brought forward from that point on. So those types of things need to be available, need to be in place in order to do that. And code enforcement is just one of the many tools in the tool belt that needs to be enacted in the 9th.
Agree. My answer isn't going to be much different than anything else that's been said. I think utilizing business enterprise zones would be helpful, more green space, and everything that my colleagues up here have said. There's not too much more I could add to that.
How do you propose to bring good-paying jobs and businesses to Long Beach?
Again, going back to the model of the collaborative that I was referring to, as we build public-private partnerships and trust funds with developers, with working with labor groups, working with the chamber. I think we can attract businesses here with the business enterprise zones, attracting businesses that have the ability to hire large numbers of employees, 300 and 400 employees, but 300 employees not at $5 an hour with no benefits, but a company that pays a living wage and has medical benefits. Those are the kind of things that are important to the community, and you do that by making it easy or easier to deal with the city and with businesses as far as permits and all the entire process. In my conversation with business owners, one of the things that they're saying is that it's very difficult in dealing with the city. So I think we need to look at the process of how we interact with the businesses that are here, first of all, and how we can improve that process so that it's much easier to attract more businesses. Long Beach is a wonderful place where folks should want to do business. I also personally believe that if we had more progressive policies, like a citywide project labor agreement, it would be easier to build and get those kind of businesses come into the city.
The idea of having a collaborative between public and private is probably something that we all dream about and we would all like to work about. Unfortunately, I disagree with Mr. Neal over here as far as the PLA. I don't think that's going to help our small business model. Large business, it's a cost of doing business, period. So I don't think that's in the cards for working. Secondarily here, we need to start looking at cutting fees for business in order to compete with our neighbors. And our neighbors are not San Diego, they are not San Jose or Fresno. Our neighbors are Gardena, Hawthorne, Torrance. Our fees are way out of whack compared to those guys. And they're immediately right here. So we're competing over there. One of the reasons I still have a business, we still have a business license in this community for my company, is the idea that we are someday going to be back here doing work. Unfortunately, we're not now.
Boy, that's a good question. You know, the 9th really should be a mini hub out here. We're right by the 710 and 91 freeways. We butt up to a bunch of communities right next door to us. Why are we not a hub? We really should be, and it could be if it's promoted in the right way. We can begin doing that by looking at the neighborhood development zone programs, going out and aggressively selling that, promoting it, letting business owners know that that is available, number one. And also partnering with these communities next door to us to, in fact, get this hub theme going. I'm glad that the council approved the small business enterprise. I think that that's effective and can be promoted a little bit more. And any kind of enterprise zone in general, in terms of offering incentives, is something that we have to aggressively pursue. Lastly, I'll just say making sure the RDA money is used appropriately and looking at any kind of federal economic stimulus reserve package of shovel-ready project we get. Thank you.
Mr. Neal? You had me until project labor agreements. I agree with each one of these people here, and I've done each one of the suggestions they've had, and I believe that we continue to do that. 78% of all the industrial land outside of the port is in North Long Beach. Drive the industrial area. We have thriving industrial business going on, and I am right now in the process of bringing another 850 acres of industrial land into the North Long Beach area. So I agree with each one of these gentlemen of how we do it. I've done each one of their suggestions, voted for a commercial zone, enterprise zone, fought for enterprise zone, and utilized that with Paramount Petroleum coming in and taking over in Eddington Oil to the expansion of DK Val to the expansion of TABC on Paramount Boulevard and the expansion of other businesses in the years that I've been here. So with the exception of PLA, I agree with each one of my colleagues here. Thank you.
Since I was the last one with the chip. I just want to touch on this subject of project labor agreements because it's a very controversial project or topic. And personally, I think it's not going to affect small businesses. The city has the ability to set a level of whatever, let's say every project over $2 million would receive project labor, would be fall under the project labor agreement. I think it's a win-win for the city, and it gives us the ability to compete with those other cities that we've all just talked about that are getting all the projects that aren't coming to Long Beach.
Okay, if that wasn't controversial enough, what issues would you like to see addressed or changed in the city charter and why? And I have some questions about term limits, and I'll let Mr. Lurch start there.
Yeah, where's that chip when you need it? You know, we just went through a massive charter reform initiative a couple of years ago, 2007, and I think that cleaned up a lot of it. I seriously think that term limits are probably the worst thing that we can do in the long run for the planning of a city and a state, but we have it. I'd like to look at that again on term limits, obviously. And the other thing is I would like to look at combining the Civil Service Commission with the Human Relations. And we've got two departments that are basically doing the exact same job and fighting over it. I think those need to be combined into one, and I'm not real sure we need a Civil Service Commission as much as we need a city-sponsored human relations that does both of those jobs and combining those two, and that's in the charter.
Well, yeah, that's a complicated question, I would say. We're kind of in between a smaller, large-sized city and a huge city like L.A. right next to us. So charter reform, I think, is something that will probably change over the years. And maybe the mayor's power, I think right now people seem okay with it the way it is. I think it would be nice if he had a vote because he could be held accountable personally. So I think that's something worth looking at. In terms of term limits, I think that we just have to realize why were those voted in? You know, why was there a groundswell of people coming together to vote in term limits? And I think it's there for a reason, and there are technicalities and ways around that, but we do have term limits for a reason. Thank you.
Yes, we have term limits for a reason, and there are ways around it, such as a write-in. However, that has been voted on 5 times. It's been presented by many councils. I believe that you all have spoken, was as high as 55% in this district alone that maintain term limits with the proviso for the write-in and being able to have a name on the ballot if they survive the primary. So that being in place makes sense. Duplication of positions within the city, such as civil service and human relations, that should be seriously looked at. Positions should be removed, unfortunately, if they're duplicated. I mean, that's the way it should be, although that doesn't happen when you have vacant positions that are left open and not filled immediately until budgetary crunch time, and then they're removed.
This is an interesting question. As far as the charter and amending those things. My general feeling on changing documents of that nature is oftentimes, and I'm not saying all times, but oftentimes when those kind of revisions are made, there is a self-interest involved. That's been my experience. So I'm not that much in favor of making revisions. I think periodically we have to look at it, and I think the ultimate decision should come from the voters themselves. Let it go to a vote. Let the people decide. The same with the term limit issue. The voters have said what their feeling is. We're working under the guise that the voters have put in place, and I believe that works for the city.
Okay, we don't really have time for another question, so it will be closing statements in reverse order, starting with Steve Neal, and it is 90 seconds uninterrupted. Mr. Neal.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for attending this forum and the organizers for the opportunity for us to get together and share our views. I'm running for this office because I believe the experiences that I've had as a as a president of a union, as a nonprofit director, and as a manager with the United Way and running a church has prepared me to work with the colleagues on the city council. I come from a social service background, so my general thought process involves what is in the best interest of the community. That's what you're going to get from me. You're going to get someone that is a diligent worker, someone that is going to research the problems that are sent before them, and someone that is going to put the community's interests as the number one priority in the decisions that I make. I would be honored to represent this district, and I think it would be the most difficult challenge that I've ever faced in my life, but I'm looking forward to it, and I would be honored to have your vote.
First off, I'd like to thank the Grand Association and CAG and the Presbyterian Church for sponsoring this forum. Many of you sitting out there today are frustrated with a system that spends more than it takes in, robs North Long Beach of RDA tax dollars, reduces public safety, meaning police, and then tells us it's okay because crime is going down. It's not okay. We have allowed ourselves to settle for many things. Now is the time to protect what we have with a very simple platform that looks at the budget based on needs. It is also incorporating MOUs with colleges, and that would be a complement to our area. Our needs while exploring a weed and seed program would help with the youth and gang violence through preservation and restoration of our community. We need a financial institution, and that's why I've suggested a credit union for the 90805 area. I think that would be uniquely ours. It would provide higher paying jobs and internships for our students in high school. So I'm asking for your vote to enact these items as well as streamline government from the bottom up, which means working together to achieve a goal. My name is Dan Pressburg, and a vote for me will get these things done. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to your vote.
Well, first of all, thank you to the Grand Association, North Long Beach CAG, Community Presbyterian Church for having us here today, and for all of you for once again coming here this afternoon. At your doors and in the neighborhoods, you have told me you want change now. You want access and responsiveness now. You want action, not promises, now. So why should you vote for Brad Shore? I believe my work experience, both union and non-union, my education, a bachelor's degree in education and a master's degree in psychology, my 20 years of advocacy and volunteer work, my involvement as a board member of the North Long Beach Community Action Group, my compassion and dedication to seniors and veterans and those in need, and my results-driven personality make me the best suited for the job. I have been fortunate to receive the endorsements from a very diverse and well-respected group of community leaders and government officials. Many of these folks you know, and some are here today. Thanks, Bill and Doug, for coming. I agree with you that we need change and action now. I have an implementation plan for change. It's not just a concept, it's a plan. We need a new course. We need new leadership. We need a leader who will improve our quality of life here in the Ninth and improve and strengthen our neighborhoods. I close by asking you here today, and those in the Ninth not able to attend, for your support, your vote, absentee or at the polls on April 13th. Vote for Shore. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank for each and every one of you for being here. It looks like we're going to get you home on time for the red carpet. Thank you, Grand Association. Thank you, North Long Beach Community Action Group. And thank you, Chris Logan, for opening up your church here. Thank you very much. I've heard in the neighborhoods that I've walked the neighborhoods for the last 8 years that there's a vote of confidence that I am in the right direction, that I've been going in the right direction, that we've made a lot of improvements in the North Long Beach in the last 8 years. And I hear over and over again, we want you to continue those improvements in our neighborhood and our community. I've heard votes of confidence constantly as I walk these streets. And I've walked these streets for 8 years solid, and I haven't stopped because it's just a simple election. I've always found out what the community wants, and you will know, each and every one of you know, that I'm there, I'm open, I will listen, I will never close my door. I'm the only person probably here that has my personal cell phone number on all my literature. Anytime you want to call me, 24 hours a day, 562-884-2759, it's on my belt 24 hours a day, except for when I'm in bed, and then it's still on my belt because I can hear it. I'm telling you, I want to help and continue this community that we've started over the years. My name is Val Lerch. That's L-E-R-C-H. Just in case you want to write that down somewhere in the next couple of weeks, I'm asking for you to write my name in. I am the right choice for North Long Beach.